we're touching upon the great theme of God's future purpose for the church. We read a scripture today regarding it in the Ephesian Epistle chapter 5. They are the words of Paul writing by the Spirit and saying, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." These are the words of God regarding our blessed Lord's purpose for that blessed matchless pearl, his bride, which is the church. We have noted the parabolic teaching of our Savior in relation to the one pearl of great price, the church. Now we follow the doctrinal teaching that Paul gives us concerning the church. Paul, by the Spirit, gives a fuller revelation relating to the church. Though the parable describes Christ giving up all in order to possess the pearl, by the Spirit, Paul declares he gave himself for it. When you and I look around and survey the present conditions of the church in its outward testimony, we have great difficulty believing that it is a pearl of great price, that it is a pearl that possesses wondrous beauty and preciousness in the sight of the beloved Lord. Yes, we do. But in our scripture of Ephesians 5, Paul traces the love of Christ. He traces the faithful care of Christ that will yet bring out in eternal and glorious splendor the beauty and the preciousness of the bride to the heart of the Lord Jesus. How blessed to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ and God his Father have a future purpose for the church. May we first note in the 25th verse, the personal affection of Christ for his bride. Christ also loved the church. Paul declares his love for the church. Now, may I emphasize and distinctly note with you, it is not his love for the world. It is not a declaration of his love either for individual saints. But it is a special declaration of the love of Christ for his church. Then note that Paul continues to state the personal sacrifice of Christ for his bride. He gave himself for it. It was because of his love for the church that Christ died for her, to purchase her. Matthew 13, in the parable of the one great pearl, tells of his desire for it. But Paul here reveals the secret of that desire, and that is, he loved the church. I cannot tell you why. All I could say, he knew what he could do with it, as well as for it, that he might someday present it to himself, a matchless pearl of great beauty forever. But no, Christ not only has loved the church, he has not only sacrificed himself in death for the church, but in verse 26, we have the personal care of Christ for the church, that he might sanctify, meaning to set it apart and cleanse it, with the washing of water by the word. Now note something distinctly here that oftentimes is overlooked. When men die for any person or persons, their death will end their devotedness. No man can go any further than giving himself in death for another. But when you think of the death of Christ, Christ died for the church to possess it. But he continues his ministration of service and care for it. Oh, my beloved, what a wonderful thing to know the Lord Jesus not only loved the church. He not only died for the church, but he cares for the church. Oh, may may I reemphasize his present truth, his present sanctifying and cleansing work. How important it is, for the church is a pearl in his eyes, as we have noted. And because she is a pearl in his eyes, he must bring out its beauty. Once it was not his, so he bought it. It was not clean, so he must clean it. It was not set apart, so he must sanctify it. He must nourish the church. He must cherish it. And his unchanging love demands his present care for the church. Oh, my beloved, may I say, to the shame of we believers, Christ cares more for the church than we do. And in his unchanging love, he demands his present care. But how does he care for the church, you ask? Note the words at the end of our 26th verse. With the washing of water by the word. Oh, my beloved, do you and I realize what Christ must do and what he does to thus make the church, to cherish it, to nourish it, and set it apart, to cleanse it, to make it what he wants it to be? It is only done by the washing of the water by the word. This is what the Lord Jesus wants to do for the people of God. The instrument of cleansing, of keeping us clean, of setting us apart, of forming the beauty as the matchless pearl, as the bride of Christ, is the ministry of the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Do you remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119? When the psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And my beloved fellow believer, may I remind you, you and I need the cleansing of the word of God. It's moral, daily cleansing in our lives. Oh, beloved, Christ has no other way to keep you and me clean. Christ has no other manner by which he shows how much he cares, how much he nourishes, how much he cherishes his beloved church. By the washing of the water, by the word. My beloved, may I say very frankly, the greatest need of the church is the word of God. The greatest ministry that the church needs is the ministry of the word of God. My beloved, the responsibility of those whom God has ordained and whom God has raised up to be the teachers and the preachers of the precious word of God is thus to use that word of God, the labor of the word of God, for the washing, for the moral cleansing in the daily path of the believer. Then may I point out, my fellow believer, it is your responsibility and mine as individual saints to go to this word of God, to find every day in this word of God our cleansing from the moral defilement that we get in the path that we travel day by day in this defiled world. Oh, my beloved believer, this brings before us a responsibility that every member of his body should realize. A relationship with him and a responsibility to say, Lord, wash me. And as we find in John 13, the beautiful illustration, when he washed the disciples' feet, the basin of water typifies the word of God. The ministry of Christ, though he's risen, ascended, and in heaven above, he wants to care for his people. And beloved, may God permit that you and I shall see the responsibility of letting him care for us through the word of God. Get into the word of God. Tell him to wash your feet every day. But that's not all. There's a purpose for all this. The objective for all this is that he might, in verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. My beloved, the purpose of Christ for the church, may I say the purpose of Christ for the church, is to not exalt it and elevate it in this world. But the objective purpose of his love for the church is to glorify that church by himself and for himself, and to present that church to himself, that he might see her in all the eternal perfection, like himself, a matchless pearl, to present it to himself, a glorious church. My beloved, I pray that the Holy Spirit may cause you and I, who are believers in the Lord Jesus, to realize the purpose of God in forming the church, the purpose of Christ in loving us, in dying for us, in cleansing us, is that someday he will have that matchless pearl in eternal perfection. And in that day of his return, he can present it to himself, a glorious church. And he will, which we shall see, God willing, in a later study. Not having spot, not having wrinkles, not having any such thing, but to be holy and without blemish. My beloved, you can look around at the church today and you can find the blemishes. You can find the wrinkles. You can see the spots. But I want to assure you, when Christ is finished with the pearl of great price, that church will be a glorious church, personally presented as such by the Lord Jesus to himself in that coming day of glory. Oh, my beloved friend, I beg of you to realize what is God's future purpose for the church, that it might be presented to Christ, a glorious church. I hope you're in it. I trust that you're a member of his body, saved by his grace, born again of the Spirit of God, and form part of the matchless pearl. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will consecrate and sanctify these great eternal truths to the hearts and consciences of the believers, and even to bring precious souls to the Savior for his name's sake. Amen.